Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
We want to welcome you to our program today. People have misconceptions concerning the name the church wears, as well as the name of members of the church. And so we spend some time, we're discussing misconceptions concerning the responsibilities that we have to the church. And we have talked about the universal church, for example, where Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That word church there is used in the universal sense. That is, talking about all of the members of the churches throughout the world. But then the word church is also used in the local sense, that is, a specific congregation. And of the 110 times the word church is used in the New Testament, 92 times it is used in the local sense. And the church is organized in a local congregation. Elders are appointed, men who are qualified to oversee a local church. And so the local church is emphasized in the New Testament. And last time we talked about the fact that we as members of the church need to identify with a local congregation. We need to be members in the area where we live so that we can support the work of the church in that place. But some members of the Lord's church never identify anywhere. This keeps them from becoming involved in the Lord's work. And this is not pleasing to God. It reminds us of Jesus' words in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now it's interesting in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is talking to the church at Laodicea, and He wants them to either be totally for Him or totally against Him, to be cold or hot. He did not want them to be lukewarm. And He says because they are lukewarm, He will vomit them out of His mouth. Think about how badly we feel when we vomit. You know, we may eat some bad food, and we eat the bad food, then it causes us to vomit. And nobody enjoys vomiting. But think about the parallel or the comparison that Jesus is making here. He says that these members make Him so sick that He feels like vomiting them out of His mouth. In the King James Version, the word spew is used instead of the word vomit. And the word spew is a much more serious word because all of us probably have had to vomit on occasion, and it's not pleasant at all. But very few of us have been so sick that we just spewed right where we were, not being able to get somewhere to vomit. Oh, how awful that is. Well, that's how lukewarm members make Jesus feel. You see, membership at large is against God's arrangement. God wants members of the church to come into a local congregation where they can be a part of the work and help to fulfill that great commission that God gave to His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When we talk about the local church, we recognize that it provides us with the bond of fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, we read of the fellowship in the church. The Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The fellowship that they had in the first century church, because of the common goal that they had, helps us to recognize the fellowship that is available in Christ. And then in 1 John chapter 1, John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Verse 7 of that same passage says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Note, please, the fellowship that is found in Christ is in the local congregation. Also in the local congregation is the strength of edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So think of the building up of the body, and every part of the body works together. There's that joint participation or fellowship, and each part works together. Where does that take place? It takes place in the local congregation. Think about if there is more than one congregation in the area in which you live, and you attend Congregation A one Sunday and Congregation B another Sunday, Congregation C the next Sunday, and Congregation D on the following Sunday, and then you rotate that around back and forth, people will not know which congregation you're working with because you're jumping around from one to another. But when we work together, when we're together in that local congregation, and because of the fact that we're together often, we are then able, as a body working together, to encourage and strengthen one another. We've talked about in our series of lessons the importance of the financial support of the church. And again, that responsibility comes to me as a Christian. Well, if I'm not there, I'm not able to contribute money to support the work in that particular place. And so we see the benefits that we receive from the local congregation, but we also want to remember those responsibilities that we have. We also enjoy the benefit of the joy of public worship. Acts 20 and verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his speech until midnight. We enjoy worship together in the local church. We also enjoy comfort. You know, when you hurt yourself, you want somebody to comfort you, to make you feel better. And in the Lord's church, we have problems that arise. And our brethren can comfort us. It's like a medicine that you can put on your skin that makes you feel better. Christians encouraging one another can comfort those who are in times of trouble and distress. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18 says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Also, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. In the local church, we receive the lift of encouragement. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We need to encourage one another, as the Hebrew writer goes on to say in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Yes, we need encouragement as we work in our Christian lives. We need to encourage one another so that we can get the goals reached that we're trying to reach in preaching the gospel to the whole world. And we need to have a good attitude. We need to have a positive attitude. We need to have an optimistic outlook in our lives. For example, there may be the boy who's trying to hit a baseball with a bat. He throws the ball up in the air and he swings the bat and he misses it. And he throws the ball up in the air again and he swings the bat again. He misses it again. He takes the ball, he throws the ball up in the air, he swings the bat for the third time and he misses the ball again. Now, the pessimist would say, this boy just could not hit the ball. But an optimist would say that he was such a good pitcher, he struck himself out. Well, it depends on how we look at things as to the attitude that we have. A man was walking by a baseball game one day, and there was a boy standing there beside him cheering his team on who was out in the field. And so this man asked the young boy, "What's the score?" And he said, "Well, we're out in the field. The team up to bat is ahead 24 to nothing. 24 to zero. The man said, "Well, are you discouraged?" And the little boy said, "Oh no, I'm not discouraged. We haven't had a chance to bat yet." And so we need to have a positive attitude in recognizing the responsibilities we are to fulfill in living the Christian life. And so in connection with this, we want to remember that every member is important. Paul compares the church to a body where every part is important. You know, thumbs and toes might seem unimportant, especially my thumb. It's very small. Thumbs are small in comparison to the body. The big toes on our feet are very small in comparison to our body. But consider the king Adonibezek in Judges chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "And they found Adonibezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonibezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Judges chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. How important are thumbs? They're not very big, but try to write a letter without your thumb. Try to pick something up without your thumbs. Try to walk without your big toes. They provide balance when we walk. They're very small, and yet they're very important because every member of the body has a job to do. And every member of the church has a job to do. Ephesians 4 and verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How important it is that every part of the body do its job. Paul further discusses this in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Again, in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, Paul shows the interconnecting relationship between all of the different members of the body. In rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem in the Old Testament, every man was needed and used. This is also true with the church. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, the Bible says, "So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, 'Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day.' So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes except that everyone took them off for washing." Nehemiah 4, 21 through 23. And so we note that every member is important. And then we note that every member has a responsibility to the local church. This is true because we are in the church. Because we are members of our families, we owe something to them. Because we are citizens of our country, we owe something to it. Such is also true with the local church. This is true because of the blessings we receive from being members of the church. The fellowship, the edification or building up, the public worship, the comfort, the encouragement. However, many of us fail to pay our debts to the church. That is, we fail to fulfill our responsibility to the church. We have too many Christians who have not laid down any roots in the local congregation. You know, if a tree doesn't have any roots, the first time it's tempted or has a problem, it'll fall over. Some wind comes along, it'll blow the tree down. We must sink deep roots in the local congregation so that we can be steadfast and strong in working for God. How our lives are enriched through local church membership. The question is, am I contributing anything to the local church? What can I do to fulfill my responsibility in the local church? Number one, I can cooperate in good works. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. We need to be fellow laborers in the work. Paul wrote to Philemon in Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Yes, we need to give our efforts in the local congregation. I also need to give my influence for good. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In order to fulfill my responsibility as a member in a local congregation, I owe that congregation my regular attendance, not just Sunday morning worship. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." There are many other things that are involved in the responsibility that I have in the local congregation. And in our next program, we're going to continue discussing misconceptions, wrong ideas, concerning the responsibilities that I have as a Christian in helping to see the gospel go to all the world.